Welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. This is our Christmas edition, so Merry Christmas. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, and I am joined and reunited with my good, beloved friend and co-host, Scott W. Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. Whether you're watching or listening, wherever you are on planet Earth, thanks for being here. Share the show with a friend. Also, remember to leave a positive rating and review on your podcast platform of choice. That'll help other people discover this content and be enriched by it. Scott, we're here. We made it to the Christmas episode. We're not quite at our 500th episode yet, but we're actually creeping closer and closer to that. We've been doing this for a while. So this is what, our eighth Christmas edition, I would assume at this point. I haven't been actually keeping
our listeners have had a lot of hard questions, so
yes, help goers think about missions, theology, and practice. Some would say yes.
It's mostly your and my hard questions. Yes.
Well, you know, speaking of hard questions, one of the hard questions that we've had to answer, looking back on the last 12 months, is what some of our favorite conversations were, the most enriching conversations were, specifically over the last year, and. You know, I had to scroll back. I don't remember everything that we do, every person that we've spoken to. The nice thing about our show is, Scott, you know, it's not strictly driven by current events. We'll get notes from people from time to time saying, oh, yeah, I was just listening to your episode on fill in the blank, and it's an episode from 5 years ago. And so, you know, somehow these episodes, a lot of them remain evergreen and people are still going back into the archives, still benefiting from them. Maybe you're a newer listener to the show. And maybe you're doing that now. Maybe you're working your way through. But Scott, as you look back on the year that we've had, you know, again, we've been doing this for a while here, and there's certain topics that we've revisited, but we also had a lot of different conversations. You know, this year a lot has happened. We've dealt with conversations about Palestine, about Ukraine, and Russia, and we've dealt with tried and true missiological issues and penal substitutionary atonement and contextualization and. These are the issues that matter most in missions. As you think back and recall the conversations we've been privileged to have this year, what has had the biggest impact on your heart and mind as a Great Commission practitioner, Scott?
As a Great Commission practitioner, that's a unique little addition to that. Well, I would say the one conversation that I felt like just stuck with me for the longest time, and I still think about it, was our interview with... I need to make sure I say his name right, Hanan Massad, the former pastor of the First Baptist Church of Gaza. That was both our conversations on air, and then there's a lot he told us off air that we really couldn't put on the show. But that was deeply impacting because it's, you know, we see things on the news, but when you meet people and talk to people who are like, no, like these are my family members who were affected. This is a
just a refresher. He's the former pastor of Gaza Baptist Church, and he pastored there for, I think, over 20 years. Yes.
Yeah. That stuck with me a lot. And it also just caused me to really remember to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are in very, very difficult situations. You know, sometimes we think of, you know, persecution as like the underground church in Russia and the KGB's knocking down doors and persecuting them. But a lot of times it's just Christians caught in a minority position between two opposing forces that just don't care if they're completely crushed, you know, not that anyone's trying to necessarily systematically stamp them out, but just they're in a dire situation. And hearing those stories gave me a lot of sympathy for them, but also I think it's been motivating me to pray more fervently for our Christians around the world that are in those spots.
Can I stop and just camp out on that for a second with you, Scott?
Yeah.
We as Christians cannot let the media conversation alone drive the people and places that we pray for. You know, the media might be screaming at us to give all of our attention to one certain country or conflict. We cannot forget there are Christians in Gaza, in the West Bank. There are Christians in Ukraine, certainly. There's the Christians in Nigeria that we spoke about in a couple of different podcast episodes that are in grave danger. We have to be praying for them. There's other places that we could point at as well, but it is it scares me how easy it is to forget, even working for a global organization that's serving in some of these places, right?
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, we talk about India, we talk about Ukraine, we talk about, you know, Christians in Nigeria. There's so much to be praying about and to take seriously in the cause of missions. And a lot of our missionaries who listen to the show are on those front lines and dealing with that every day and then struggling in that like strange liminal space. I think that's the right term, you know, between their Western ideas that they're hearing from their churches back home, the national believers, and then the people they're trying to reach. And then they're here kind of in this middle space that's neither here nor there. And it's tough, you know, where they really love the host countries they live in and yet find themselves often at odds with the beliefs of those people. That could be a very difficult situation for our missionaries.
Yeah. What else comes to mind for you, Scott, though? I mean, that's an important sober note that we need to start on. Honestly, I think if people take nothing else away from our conversations that we've had this year, remember to pray for our persecuted and marginalized brothers throughout the world. But what else has been impactful for you? And again, but yeah, I call you a Great Commission practitioner. You know, you're a pastor, but you're doing that with a missional mindset. So
for sure. And in a very diverse place.
That's right.
Yeah. I would say another one these are just evergreen, but this is one conversation I thought was really enjoyable. I wasn't able to be there in the studio or with you when you did your last conversations with Edie Burns. But I will just highlight one conversation that we had with Peter Sammons. And just as kind of like a stand-in for all the conversations we have about theology proper. I just think this is going to be and is already, you know, one of the most important emphases we can have in the mission field is that we heavily emphasize theology and our theology of God, our Christology, all that flows into even thinking about, you know, heaven and hell and eschatology, like all those things are kind of downstream of like how we think about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I think that all the episodes we end up doing on theology, even though they aren't like the, you know, the most flashy episodes, they're not the one that's probably gonna get the most clicks. I think it's probably the most important thing we do.
Right.
Because I think that missionaries, you know, even just by the way our schools set up the training, you know, it tends to be very practical and less on the theological side. And yet on the field, I think if your theology isn't settled, you're going to end up with a really messy missiology.
Yeah, well, look, even just in the last few weeks, we have our friend, our brother in Christ, but Kirk Cameron coming publicly to the conclusion that actually hell is not eternal conscious torment. It's annihilation, that the soul ceases to exist. Now, granted, there have been some Christians through the ages that have reached that conclusion, but we would say that actually undercuts, you know, here's an insight for you. I was thinking about this on the drive in today, Scott. Imagine evangelizing a Buddhist with that perspective. Their goal is annihilation, right? That's what nirvana is the extinguishment of the self. And yet to replace the doctrine of hell as eternal conscious torment under the wrath of God, justly deserved by sinners, with an understanding that the soul just ceases to exist. You know, you recognize our theology is always coming out of our fingertips. What we believe, be it about, you know, like we talked about with Peter Sammons, our theology proper, meaning our doctrine of God, who God is in his essential nature, not just what he does, but who he is, but then also things like heaven and hell and, of course, salvation and the nature of all of those things. Our methods, what we do evangelistically, are always revealing what we really believe. You know, I heard recently of a pastor who said that the eternal bonds within the Trinity between the Father and the Son were severed when Christ expired on the cross. And in that moment
that's been said so many times.
It has. Oh, yeah. It has been said. You know, just think for a moment what that means. Like, you're really claiming that God ceased to be God when Christ was crucified. I mean, that actually, if you were to actually extrapolate all that that means, that has chaotic effects on the rest of your theological system, right? This is why, you know, if you're new to the show and you're like, man, they call themselves the Missions Podcast, but they talk about theology a lot. Yes. Yes. That's why we're not just, you know, here's this story of impact or this person that got saved. That's, those are great things, but our theology needs to be what animates our approach to bringing the gospel to the nations, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like for me, at least, I don't know if you would say the same thing, but a lot of my, I feel like I've done a lot of backfilling, right? Like as you get further and further into ministry, what I keep finding myself wishing is that I had spent more time in my early years of preparation on theology, on languages.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I never felt like, whoa, you know, like sent my seminary training way overqualified me for this job. But I wish I had more of that. So now you're constantly
for going this back job going, as a podcaster.
Yes, that this is this as well.
Right.
My main calling in life, you know, pastoring a church, but I think the podcast is kind of an outflow of that. So, you know, my challenge to missionaries, no matter what you're doing, even if you're going to be, you know, being a phlebotomist on the mission field in one of our hospitals, or an engineer, is like, man, do the hard work of getting deeper and deeper into theology and learning how to do that. And that's just going to pay such rich dividends because you got to get your brain thinking about who God is. Because most of the religions of the world, you know, especially we talk about Islam or, you know, we talk about Mormonism, which is ascending. You know, we talk about Hinduism or Buddhism. Like they all come at the nature of God in fundamentally broken, man-centered ways. And if we don't quickly identify those things, if we do win someone to Christ, we're going to end up discipling them in ways that go along with the worldview they came out of, not according to the worldview of the Bible.
Which reminds me, that we need to do our Mormonism episode soon. We've been plotting that. I know that's been big on your priority list. So, make note of that. One of the reasons, everything that you said is one of the reasons, Scott, that I really enjoyed, and unfortunately you weren't a part of this episode, but our conversation with Dr. Don Fairbairn, which was a unique episode we did in collaboration with a church here in the Allentown, PA area, Cedar Crest Bible Fellowship Church. Got to co-host that episode with Nathan Trommler, who's a pastor over missions and outreach at that important church and a wonderful, wonderful congregation there. So grateful for them. But Don Fairbairn, first of all, a true gentleman and a world-class scholar of patristics in particular, but not just ancient Greek thought. Also, he's spent time in Eastern Europe, and he's seen the practical outworking of some of those early patristic ideas today on such things as orthodoxy. We had some reactions, shall we say, to our conversations that we had on Roman Catholicism and Eastern
Orthodoxy, loved it.
You and I, everyone loved that. And, and I said some things there that also got some reactions from people. I wasn't maybe as clear as I could have been, but I think what's important, and I think what Dr. Fairbairn models, is that we need to, as missionaries, but also just as Christians, understand what other people believe on their own terms, before coming at them with a polemic approach. I'm all for polemics in the right place.
Right.
But it does. I don't care if you're talking about, you know, Islam or Talmudic Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism or Eastern Orthodoxy or Roman Catholicism, you know, Christian sects and non-Christian pagan religions, I should still seek to not strawman their positions, but actually steelman their positions to try and refute the best possible version of that person's argument. You know, I see a lot of that sort of sloppiness. Thankfully, I'm seeing less of it, but you do see that. You see that with Islam, for instance. You know, well, you're worshiping a moon god. Like, well, maybe that was true at some point in the past. Maybe Allah was a moon deity. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. Who actually knows? But is there a single Muslim in the world today that believes that Allah is a moon deity? Well, no, that's not what they believe, right? You have to understand the people that you're conversant with. I mean, you're doing that constantly, Scott, in your context. You're surrounded by Hindus. You have to understand their beliefs on their own terms, not so you can agree with it or compromise, but so that you can effectively communicate with them.
Correct. Yeah. And so much of the internet apologetics world is simply falsity. And I think as Christians, we've got to love the truth so much that we tell the truth, even about what people believe, you know? And I think that just is something, you know, so crucial that we speak the truth, we speak it plainly. And that's one of the things I enjoyed. We did have a good podcast, which I think, I feel like probably every year we do a podcast, something like this, dealing with insider movements in Islam. But I think the interview we did with Ant Greenham was important because it talks about insider Bible translations and the importance of getting some of those things right, you know, and I think there's just a lot of sloppiness, even in the missions world, about how we engage, either on the one hand, like you said, you know, sometimes not saying, you know, attacking straw men, but on the other hand, sometimes we're so eager to try to please and agree with and find common ground that we end up compromising things that undermine the gospel unintentionally. And it was helpful to hear him and going through some of those thoughts when we talk about Bible translations. It's meaningful to me because actually this is something I'm really excited about. But a guy I went to college with and seminary with, him and his wife. Actually, I was on a traveling team with his wife. His name is Josh Hedges. He is a missionary with Bibles International. He, after 17 years of work, translated the Bible into, it's called the C language of a people group in Chad. And I'm just like, you know, I think of the hard work that goes into those guys. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's not a flashy person. He's not a celebrity. But just the grind of translating God's word and the theological precision that's needed in doing that, as well as the language gifts. And so talking to Ant and looking at that episode, thinking about it again, made me, and then just seeing my college friend's post about this huge accomplishment in his ministry, just highlights the need for faithful men and women who do this important work of Bible translation. Mm-hmm. So that was another one that stood out to me.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being reminded of the long, hard slog of doing missions faithfully, you know, I wish you had been there in person with us when Paul Davis, our president, and I got to interview our friend Paul Washer. Of course, that was our second time interviewing him on this show. And Paul Washer, that is, not Davis, but Paul, both Pauls, but really Paul Washer has been so generous with his time with us. And, you know, having spent now about a day and a half with him, he's exactly, at least from what I can tell, I could be wrong, but in my limited interactions, you know, he's exactly how you'd think he would be. The way that you see him engage, you know, in a panel or in an interview is the version of him that you know, spend a day with us here in our office. The Lord used that in my life to bring me to a point of just a deeper soberness and seriousness about the things of God. And I know many people that were encouraged and built up by that. But, you know, Scott, we're heading here towards Christmas very soon. Christmas is upon us, whether you seek it or not, to butcher the words of Aragorn, son of Arathorn. and so, you know, you're pastoring, you're in the full swing of Advent. I know you, so I'm certain that you're preaching through something Christmas themed right now and that you're not, you know, in Leviticus or something else like that. I know you, I'm confident that you're doing something Christmas related for your congregation. And maybe as we wrap up, what's a closing meditation that you would have for us to reorient us for the year ahead, but also, you know, as we're talking about mission, to be missional in the present season of Advent and celebrating the Lord's birth, you know, how can we make sure that we don't waste this season as far as our witness before our neighbors?
Yeah, I know we have at least one Presbyterian brother who's deeply disappointed that I'm not preaching to Leviticus right now.
not just Presbyterians, you know, I mean, like Calvary Chapel, that was our solution when I was growing up in that movement too. Yeah, is you know, it does not matter what book you're on, you're sticking through it. You know, the church calendar, be darned.
During Advent season, I usually focus on the minor prophets and the prophecies of Christ. And this year, focusing on Isaiah chapter 9. And, you know, that famous phrase, he should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it's been such a joy to dive into those titles. And get into what is meant by them, and then focusing on those themes of Advent, of of hope and peace, joy and love. And I've got a family in my church, and this week has been a, you know, a crazy week for health issues in our little congregation. And, you know, they got a disabled daughter. She's been in and out of the hospital for the last 40 years, and now she's on hospice, and they're just sitting there in the room for the last 3 days waiting for her to pass into eternity. And just, you know, you think about Advent, a season of waiting, and yet what it means that our God is the wonderful counselor, that Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He is the king who has the wisdom of the ages. You know, he is the almighty God. He is the hero God that delivers the joy that we need in the darkest of times. You know, he is the almighty, the everlasting father, you know, not just the father of the people Israel as their king, that all of us, he is the our forerunner, you know, he is the leader of us as our Messiah. And then of course, the Prince of Peace, that he is our champion of peace, that brings the peace of God into the world. And as we think of, like, you know, the heavens opening, and Isaiah is like, cry, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. And I think in Isaiah 64, I think, right? And you think of the heavens being rent open with the angels declaring the good news of the Messiah's birth. I just think, man, I wish we could spend more than 4 weeks a year wondering at the incarnation, you know, like having this time to wonder about it and to think about it, but also to make us long for the final end of all things when Christ sits on his throne on earth, not just in heaven, and reigns over all things. And sin and death are no more. It's a good time of year to be thinking about that, and I'm really thankful for it.
Did you know that it can take anywhere from 18 to 24 months or more for the average missionary to raise their financial support? The journey to the field is an arduous one, and for some missionaries, it goes by quicker than others. Other missionaries are waiting for the right prayer and financial partners to come alongside them and hold the rope for them as they go out to reach the lost. And so, would you consider praying for and maybe adopting an ABWE pre-field missionary, somebody that's already been commissioned and sent out from their local church, and the only thing keeping them from having a fruitful ministry on the field is simply their ability to get there? You can go to abwe.org/prefield and find a pre-field missionary, whether you just want to pray for them or whether the Lord would lead you to give to one of their ministries. Find one that you can support today at abwe.org/prefield.
There's nothing that I can say to add to that, but I feel the pull. I'm sure you feel it. Anyone in ministry, anyone with a busy life, which, you know, who isn't living a busy life these days? I think we all feel the pull that it is hard to slow down. It is hard to build space into your life to contemplate not just the things of God in general. I mean, hopefully all of us have a growing devotional life on some level, but also specifically to consider the glory of Advent and the glory of the incarnation. You know, we got into a little bit of a kerfuffle with one of our friends who's a former ABWE worker and also a one-time guest on our show and a member of our premium family. We got into a little bit of a spat with him on the internet about, you know, is celebrating Christmas lawful for Christians? And I do respect that some of our Christian brothers have different convictions about holy days, and of course we shouldn't be binding consciences in that way. But I will say that, and I'll die on this hill. It is a good and godly and righteous thing to have special seasons of remembrance, special set apart times. Yes, we should be considering the glory of the incarnation every Sunday when we go to worship the Lord with His people. But also doing that in a concerted manner, whether it be this time of year or any other time. But you know, the calendar is something that must be governed theologically. And if you reject the cycles of worship that the church has historically observed, just recognize, you know, chances are you're going to be tempted to let a secular church calendar overtake the way that you live and organize your life. And I think if we're going to mark time in any way, which is inevitable for us as image bearers, let's mark time according to biblical truth and according to sacred patterns. And so I really do hope that each of us can unplug to some extent and enjoy this season, to revel in the glory
of the incarnation, to just let ourselves feel a little bit of that wonder. But just a few things to look forward to in the next year, Scott, as we wrap up. So, of course, we're a weekly show here. We're not really taking much time off. But as we get into 2026, a few things to look forward to. First of all, we've got to do our Mormonism expose. That's coming, right? That's that's on the radar. We're going to talk to our friend Darren Carlson, founder mm-hmm. of Training Leaders International. Of course, longtime friend of yours, friend of the show. So we're grateful for that conversation coming up soon. Also, we've got a big announcement coming in the new year, especially those who are local to our area here in and around ABWE in central Pennsylvania and expanding into the broader region. So that has some implications. I'm excited for that. Scott, anything else you want to tease that you're excited about for the new year for our listeners who've been loyally joining us all this time?
No, I think those are the things that I've got necessarily I have on my calendar. I do hope that we can get into some of the topics we've been talking about perennially, but getting into the details of other religions and how to engage with that, but also just missionary life. You know, I've had a couple of emails have come through of just some tough struggles that people have on the field. And I think those are also good things for us to deal with, like, how do we manage marriage and family and life on the field and not lose our love for Jesus in the middle of serving Jesus, which is obviously a very real and perennial topic for all of us serving the Lord.
Yeah. Not letting our love grow cold is a challenge. And I think that's something else we'll have to cover in the new year, especially with some projects that I'm working on. We need to do a deep dive on the Ordo Amoris. And what does
I wish someone would write a book on that.
I wish. Well, in fact, someone has, and that's coming out in the new year. Probably end of January, early February. But we need to work on that. Is that an excuse to not do missions? I don't think that's what it is. What does it mean? We will dive into that. I think that is super, super timely. We're about to do our overtime episode. Scott, we're going to talk about Christmas still, and we'll continue this conversation. Also, if you join us on that bonus episode, which you can do in your Apple Podcast app, if you subscribe as a premium subscriber, or if you go to missionspodcast.com/premium, is I'd like to do a reverse countdown. I want to talk about our least favorite episodes from 2025, just for our friends behind the paywall. And if you're curious, you're welcome to join us. That's right.
Talk about my episode. What?
Yes. Well, there's only one way you'll know, and that's if you join us. And of course, we thank you. Obviously, you're paying for content, but you're actually giving to a ministry as well. You're helping us do more. You're helping us feed poor Brian here in the control room. He doesn't get fed much, but we try to give him some scraps every now and again. Thank you for an awesome year. Of course, we'll keep bringing you content each week, but the Missions Podcast, as you know, is a ministry of ABWE. To learn more about ABWE and take your next steps in the Great Commission, I'm talking to you. Go to abwe.org, and remember, you can get more content from the Missions Podcast at missionspodcast.com. Send us your ideas, your thoughts, your criticisms. Yes, even those. Send all of that to alex@missionspodcast.com or scott@missionspodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. And until our next episode, go make disciples of all the nations and have a Merry Christmas.